experience you know what the body is, and I have told you what the soul is, and now the question arises, what is the spirit? I know that there have been for many centuries great differences of opinion among theologians and other wise men as to what the spirit is, some contending that it and the soul are the same thing, and others, that the spirit is the real ego of man and the soul something of less quality and subordinate to the spirit, and others having other views, and all wrong, for as I have said the soul is the ego, and everything else connected with man and forming a part at his creation when he was pronounced to be very good, is subordinate to the soul, and only its instrumentality for manifesting itself. As Jesus has told you, the spirit is the active energy of the soul and the instrumentality by which the soul manifests itself, and this definition applies to the spirit of man while immortal as well as when he becomes an inhabitant of the spirit world. The spirit is inseparable from the soul, and has no function in the existence of man, except to make manifest the potentialities of the soul in its activities. Spirit is not life, but it may become an evidence of life. It is life's breath. And as man was created in the image of his Maker, and as spirit is only the active energy of the soul, by the application of the principle of correspondences, which one of your former psychics declared to exist, it may be assumed and it is truth, that the Holy Spirit is the active energy of the great soul of the Father, and, as we know from our experiences and observations, is used as the messenger of the Father to convey to mankind his divine love. And I do not mean to restrict the mission of the Holy Spirit to mankind in the flesh, for it also conveys and bestows this great love upon the souls of the Father's children who are spirits without the bodies of bone and flesh, and who are inhabitants of the spirit world. And so, it is a truth that the Holy Spirit is not God and no part of the Godhead, but merely his messenger of truth and love emanating from his great soul and bringing to man love and light and happiness. So you see there is no mystery of the Godhead, and no secret that God does not wish man to know and understand, and no truth that it is contrary to God's laws and will that man shall search for and possess. It is said that God is spirit, and it is true, but spirit is not God, only one of his instruments used 453, to work with mankind and the spirits of men. To worship the instrument is blasphemy, and only God alone must be worshipped. Jesus must not be worshipped as God, the Holy Spirit must not be so worshipped, and the sooner men learn this truth and observe it the sooner they will get in atonement with the Father, and please the Master, who, as some may not know, is the greatest worshipper of the Father in all his universe. I have written longer than I expected, but I hope from my message many mortals may receive the truth, and believe that the Holy Spirit is not one of the Godhead, and that the mystery of the Godhead is a myth, without body, soul or spirit, and that there is no truth in all God's universe that man is not invited to search for and understand and possess. I will now stop and in doing so, will leave you my love and blessings, and will pray the Father to send the Holy Spirit to you with great abundance of the divine love. Good night and God bless you until I come again. Your brother in Christ, Luke. Let me say just a word as I am very much interested in the truths of the message which Luke has just written you, and I was present at the church where the minister discoursed on the subject of paradise, and Luke was also present, and as I realized that something that the preacher said, suggested to Luke the subject of his message, and as I am very much interested in the people of the church, as I at one time was pastor there, I desire to add just a few words to what Luke has so truly and plainly expressed. The doctrine that the preacher proclaimed tonight, I often declared when I was minister there, and as I at that time believed those doctrines to be true, and know the preacher is equally honest in his beliefs. But, alas, my beliefs were erroneous, and as it took some years of suffering and disappointment for me to unlearn these errors and learn the truth, so will he have to go through the same experience, unless, before the time of his leaving the physical body, he learns the truth, and so will many of his congregation who are earnest and honest seekers of the truth, many of them having in their souls the divine love of the Father. And the pity is that there is no way of reaching him or them with the truth, for I know that they would not give heed to what you might say to them, and would look upon you as an impostor or crank. But, nevertheless, in the future some way may open up that these truths may reach these people, And as I have there, the Paget messages 1916, interests so at heart, and feel that the influence of my teachings still linger in that congregation and produce only error and belief in that which is not true, I desire to add my confirmation to what Luke has said, and if his message ever reaches them I hope my message may also come to them. It is part of my penalty for teaching erroneous doctrines that I should work to have my people unlearn their teachings of error, and to be able to reach them in this way would give me not only great happiness, but relief from my penalty of regret. I will not attempt to recite what Luke has said, for I could not make it plainer, but I do desire to say to my people that what he said is true and they must believe. Sometime I should like to come and write you a long message on a subject that has had the object of my consideration for a long time, and which to me and to many in the earth life is a very vital matter. I will not write more tonight, and thank you for your kindness in letting me write. Well, I am in the seventh sphere and am very happy in my love and surroundings, but I realize that if I had known the truth as I now know it, I would be much further advanced. Oh, I tell you, the hampering of the soul's progress by a lifetime of erroneous beliefs is a terrible thing. I will say good night and God bless you. Your brother in Christ, Bishop John P. Newman. November 6, 1916. I am here, Gladstone. Yes, I was the Premier of Great Britain and I merely want to say that I desire to come to you sometime and write a message containing some of my views on the war that is now scourging the countries that were supposed to be Christian. Oh, the horror of it all! And how blind the rulers are to the welfare of humanity! But I must not write tonight, as I have not sufficient rapport with you and my comments and intense feeling on the subject are so great that I doubt if I could continue at this time. But if you are willing, I will come again soon and write you. I am in the earth plane, but not in darkness. I was, as you may know, a churchman and defender of the faith and still am, and I believe in the doctrines of my church, but strange, as I sometimes think, that I am not more advanced in the progress to the higher spheres. But I suppose I must develop and that I am striving to do, and attend to the duties of my church and worship as I did on earth, and have the same hope in the sacrifice of Jesus and the 454, efficacy of his atonement. I rest in his promises and am with many of my friends of earth who worshipped with me when a mortal. I still believe in Jesus, my Lord, and feel that in his good time I shall go to him in his heaven of bliss. I shall be glad to listen to you, for I have always found that something may be learned from others, no matter what their standing or condition is. Well, I am glad that this way has been open to me to communicate, for my country needs my advice, as I see that many errors of judgment have been made by those in authority. So thanking you, I will say good night. Your friend, William E. Gladstone. I am here, Charles, Pastor, Russell. I am the spirit of one who passed out a short time ago and in the full faith of his earth teachings. But in the twinkling of an eye I saw the whole falsity of my beliefs and teachings, because I awoke to the consciousness of my being alive. Yes, more alive than ever, when I expected to go into nothingness and oblivion. Oh, the terrible mistake that I made and the great injury that I have done to all my followers who are now firm in the beliefs that I taught them, and when I think of the great responsibility that is mine, I am almost crushed, and feel that the loss of every soul who believes my doctrines will rest on my soul, and that I must do penance or suffer the penalties that my teachings bring to me. I have been here only a short time and am not in condition to write much now, but I will come, I must come, and find some way to reach my people and tell them to give up the belief that there is no spirit world in which they must live when they leave their bodies of flesh. I come tonight because your wife sought me, and told me that I must come with her and see a mystery, and to me it is. All the beliefs of a lifetime destroyed in one short moment and spiritualism demonstrated to be a truth. I must stop. I will come again. Good night, Charles Russell. I am here, Kate Stone. Let me say just a word, for I want to tell you that this wicked spirit, Richard III, has left and his depressing influence has gone with him, and we feel better, as well as do you. I will not write much. I merely wanted to tell you this, and to say that your band are here and are exerting their peaceful influences. I am very happy and I want you to be, and also I desire my brother, the Paget Messages 1916, to enjoy the feeling brought to him by his loved ones, of whom I am one and a dear one. I would like to write him a long letter tonight, but you have been too much drawn on for me to do so. But tell him that I love him, and that we all rejoice at the great blessing that has been recently bestowed upon him by the Master and John and others, and I want to tell him that he must believe and trust in these good and higher spirits who are so very loving and kind to him. We all love him so much, and I not the least, although I suppose his Mary thinks that she has more love than any of us, and she is right. So with my love and prayers I will say good night. His own loving sister, Kate. November 10, 1916. I am here, Jesus. I come tonight to tell you that you are in a better condition than you were last night, and in fact, have been for some nights past. I desire to write you a message on the question of how the soul of a mortal receives the divine love, and what its effect is, even though subsequently his mind may indulge in those beliefs that may tend to prevent the growth of the soul. What is a lost soul? As you know, the inflowing of this love is caused by its bestowal by the Holy Spirit in response to sincere prayer and longings. I mean prayer and longings for the love itself, and not prayers in general, for the material benefits that men more often and more naturally, as they believe, ask for and desire. The prayers of mortals for these things that may tend to make them successful and happy in their natural love, are answered also, if it be best that they should be. But these are not the prayers that bring the divine love or cause the Holy Spirit to work with men. As the prayers of the sincere, earnest soul ascend to the Father, that soul becomes opened up to the inflowing of this love, and the soul's perceptions enlarge and come more in rapport with the conditions or influence that always accompanies the presence of this love, and, consequently, its entrance into the soul becomes easier and its reception more perceptible to the soul sense. The more earnest the prayer and sincere the longings, the sooner faith comes, and with this faith, the realization that the divine love is permeating the soul. When once the divine love finds a lodgment in the soul, it, to the extent that it receives the love, becomes as it were a changed substance, partaking of the essence of the love, and as water 455 may become colored by an ingredient foreign to itself, and which changes not only its appearance but its qualities, so this divine love changes the appearance and qualities of the soul, and this change of qualities continues ever thereafter. The natural qualities of the soul and the essence of the love become one and united, and the soul is made altogether different in its constituency from what it was before the inflowing of the love, but this only to the extent of the love received. As this love increases in quantity, the change and transformation becomes correspondingly greater, until at last the transformation may and will become so great, that the whole soul becomes a thing of this divine essence, and partakes of its very nature and substance, a being of divinity. When once this love enters and truly possesses the soul and works the change mentioned, it, the love, never leaves nor disassociates itself from the soul. Its character of divine essence never changes to that of the mere natural love, and so far as it is present, sin and error have no existence, because it is just as impossible for this essence and sin and error to occupy the same parts of the soul at the same time as it is for two material objects to occupy the same space at the same time, as your philosophers say. Divinity never gives place to that which is not of the divine. Man is working towards the attainment of the divine, when he pursues the way provided for obtaining the divine nature, and as he advances, and obtains a portion of this divine, no matter how small, he can never retrace his steps to the extent of ridding himself of this transforming essence, and again become without its presence. But this does not mean that a man may not lose the consciousness of the existence of this essence within his soul, for he frequently does. The indulgence of his carnal appetites and evil desires will place him in the condition that he may cease to have a consciousness of the existence of the divine love in his soul, and to himself, he will be as if he had never had any experience of the change that I speak of. And while this love can never be eradicated by the evils that man may indulge in or by the mental beliefs that he may acquire, yet the progress of this love and his soul may be checked and become stagnant, as if the love were not, and sin and error may appear to be the only dominant elements of his life and being. But yet, when once possessed, the love cannot be crowded out of his soul by sin and error, no matter how deep and intense they may be. I know that this may seem, the Paget Messages 1916, strange and impossible to man's intellectual thinking, and that it is not in accordance with what has been attributed to me as teaching that a soul may be lost. Nevertheless, a soul that has once received this divine essence cannot be lost, though its want of realization of the presence of this love and its awakening from its dormant condition, caused by sin and error and its misdirected beliefs, may delay its manifestation of life and existence for a long time, and much suffering and darkness may have to be endured by the soul that is in such condition. And I must not be understood by this as meaning that a soul cannot be lost, for it can, and may have been and will be, and many will realize the fact when too late. Now, what is a lost soul? Not one that a man may actually lose in the sense of being deprived of it, separated from it actually, or even as regards his consciousness of not having a soul, for while, at times, he may believe that he has lost his soul, in the sense of not having any, yet he is mistaken, for the soul, which is the man, can never be separated from himself, and as long as he lives in the physical body or in the spiritual body his soul will be with him. And yet he may have a soul, consciously or not, and at the same time have lost it. This may seem a paradox to the mortal intellect or to the intellect of spirit, but it is true. Then what is a lost soul? When God gave to man a soul, that soul was made in the image but not in the substance of its maker, and at the same time there was bestowed on him the privilege of having that soul become of the substance of the Father, and to an extent, divine, and entitled to and capable of living in the celestial kingdom of the Father, where everything is of the divine essence and nature. When the first parents by their act of disobedience forfeited that privilege, their souls lost the possibility of becoming of the divine nature and at one with the Father in his kingdom, and they thereby lost not the natural soul, which was a part of their creation, but the soul having the possibility of obtaining the essence of divinity and immortality as the Father has immortality. As I have said, heretofore, with my coming this great privilege was restored to mankind, and the lost soul became again the object of man's recovery, and now he has that privilege as did the first parents before the fall, but also men may lose it as did they. As with them their souls were lost until they received into it the divine essence of the Father, so with men now, their souls are lost until and unless they receive this divine essence therein. 456, as the first parents by their disobedience and refusal, forfeited their privilege of having their souls become a living, divine substance, so now, men by their disobedience and refusal will forfeit their privilege to save their souls from separation from the divine unity with the Father. The lost soul is as real as the verities of the Father's immutable laws, and only by the operation of the divine love can the soul lost become the soul found. Men may believe and teach that within them is a part of the divine that will cause their souls to progress and develop until it reaches the condition of divinity that will make it a part of the divinity of the Father. But in this they are all wrong, for, while man was the highest creation of God, and the most perfect, and made in his image, yet in man is no part of the divine, and having no part of the divine, it is wholly impossible for him to progress to the possession of the divine. He, of himself, no matter what his development may be, can never become greater or more perfect or of a higher nature than he was at his creation. The divine comes from above, and when once planted in a man's soul, there can be no limit to its expansion and development, even in the celestial heavens. Let all men seek this love and there will be no lost souls, but, alas, many will not do so, and the spiritual heavens will be filled with lost souls. 15. Not having the divine essence of the Father. I have written enough for tonight, and I am pleased at the way in which you received my message. Continue to pray to the Father for more and more of his divine love, and your prayers will be answered, and you will realize with the certainty of conscious possession of the divine essence, that your soul is not lost and never will be. So with my love and blessings, I will say good night and God bless you. Your brother and friend, Jesus. November 17, 1916. I am here, Garfield. No, I have not written you for a long time, though I have kept in touch with you and many times have heard the messages which you have received and also listened to the conversations of yourself and friends regarding 15. This is the spiritual heavens of the perfect man who has only the natural love in a pure state, but does not possess the divine love which is necessary to enter the celestial heavens. The Paget Messages 1916. These messages. I also have spent much time with Riddle and with your grandmother listening to their teachings and descriptions of their experiences in the spirit world, and I have become much interested in what they have related to me and in the results of their experience as manifested to me by their appearances and conditions. Your grandmother especially has had a very deep and beneficial influence on me and my thoughts, for she is a most wonderful and wise spirit and so filled with love and powers that I necessarily have to regard what she says with feelings of belief and credence. And besides, I see that she is so very different not only in her appearance but also in her knowledge and conception of spiritual things from those spirits of intelligence with whom I am most frequently in association, that I have become dissatisfied with the course that I have pursued, believing that the mind is the great thing and its development the most to be desired and acquired. So I desire to tell you that I am now trying to follow the advice of your grandmother and these other spirits who preach the doctrine of the divine love, and am praying and longing for the inflowing of the love into my soul. It may seem strange to you that I should have for so long a time been told to secure the truth of this doctrine in view of the fact that when on earth I was a kind of preacher in my church and attempted to preach the scriptures, but when I tell you as I have told you before that my beliefs were mostly mental and as I now found to be erroneous after coming to the spirit world, when I realized as I quickly did, that my beliefs and teachings of the Bible were not true, I then became a kind of infidel, and to such an extent that I was not willing to listen to any suggestions that partook of the nature or flavor of the teachings of the Bible or to the soul and spirits and heaven and hell, and other such things. And it was only after I fully realized the want of satisfaction in my mental pursuits, that I agreed to try the conversations with Riddle and other spirits of what they claimed to be as a truth of the soul development. Did I give serious attention to what I saw was not connected very intimately with the mental development, and changed my course of investigations and turned to a search for the truths that your grandmother told me existed in the presence of the soul. And I want to tell you that I am so very thankful that this change came to me and I was started on the road to light and truth. I am in much better condition than when I last wrote you, and in more light and happiness, and 457. Have a hope which I did not then have. I thought that you might be interested in knowing this, and it gives me great pleasure in telling you the fact. Well, I am surprised by what you tell me, for I have never heard of or seen displayed any of that power or glory that you speak of, and I know her only as a loving tender spirit but very wise. I will ask about this power that you speak of, for it must be a wonderful thing, and when I realize that such power may exist, it makes me realize the truth of what she tells me to a greater extent than ever. Yes, I have met him, Ingersoll, on several occasions, and must confess that I was surprised at his appearance and condition, but I did not inquire as to the cause of the same, but from what I now know I suppose it was the possession of this love. I will do so. Riddle is a very bright spirit and is getting brighter and brighter all the time, and his happiness seems to be without end. Well, my friend, I will not write more. So thanking you for your kindness, I will say good night. Your brother and friend, James A. Garfield. November 19, 1916. I am here, John. I was with you tonight and heard the sermon on hell, and was so sorry that the preacher, Dr. Ratcliffe, could not tell his people more of the truths as to what hell is, and the punishment of those who will be so unfortunate as to go to that place will be. It is pitiable that these leaders of the people are so blinded and without knowledge as to what the truth is in regard to this subject, as well as to many others, that they so erroneously declare to their congregations. Of course, their knowledge is based upon what they consider to be the truths of the Bible, and in many respects what they say is justified by the teachings of the book, but in many cases their teachings are erroneous because of the wrong construction that they place upon many of the declarations of the Bible. In either case they are teaching for the truth those things that are not true, and the harm accomplished is just as baneful as if their beliefs and teachings were the result of what they realized to be untrue. Untruth is untruth, no matter whether it arises from honest conviction or known error, and the harm done is the same in each instance. The preacher, I have no doubt, believes what he declared to be the truth, and some things he said were true, yet the fact that he believed these doctrines to be true will not palliate in any way his responsibility so far as the effect of these errors on the Paget Messages 1916, his hearers are concerned. For their sufferings and darkness, which will certainly follow their beliefs in these erroneous teachings, will be no less because the preacher was honest in his declarations of what he supposed to be the truth. The source of error does not in any way modify or affect the results that flow from its acceptance and following, and the preacher, while not in such cases a willful deceiver, yet when he comes to the spirit world, and learns the truth, he will have the regrets and the sufferings which always flow from the spreading of falsehood and deception. Error works its own punishment, but it may be of some consolation, and will be to those who preach, and to those who accept falsehood as truth, to know that such punishment will not be everlasting, and that God is not the God of wrath or of vindictiveness, and that His justice never demands more than is necessary for the removing of error, and the establishment of His truths. His justice would not be justice if He permitted error to continue, and prevented recovery on the part of man or spirits of the truth, just for the purpose of having those who had been disobedient suffer and be separated from Him for all eternity. I merely wanted to say this much on the sermon, and sometime I will sum and write you a full explanation of what hell is, its purpose and work, and how long it continues. Let all of you continue to pray to the Father for this love and have faith, and the time will soon come, when, that faith will become as real and existing as the sun which you so much enjoyed today. So my brother, with all my love and blessings I will say good night. Your brother in Christ, John. I am here, St. Paul. I merely want to say that I was present at the church tonight and listened to the preacher, Dr. Ratcliffe, tell his congregation what he didn't know about hell, because what he said, in many particulars was untrue, and it was pleasing to hear him tell his people that there was no physical suffering, although he didn't explain to them why there could be no such suffering, and I mean that no spirit, when he goes into hell carries with him his physical body, or any other body, that is such substance as would be affected by fire and brimstone and the other unreasonable things that the churches have for so many years taught and terrified their members with, and as a consequence caused them to believe that the Father is such a cruel and wrathful Father, 458, demanding that his cravings for satisfaction be supplied by the sizzling in fire of the bodies of his children. No, this damnable doctrine is not true, and I am glad to see that the churches are ceasing to believe or teach it. But the doctrine that the preacher taught is quite as bad, and as useless as the former, for the reason, that punishment of sinners and those who are out of harmony with God is a fact which they all will realize when they come to the spirit world, and that being so, to teach that this punishment is everlasting is as harmful as the one that I first mentioned. How strange that preachers and teachers will try to cause their people and listeners to believe that God is such a wrathful and vindictive being, having less love and mercy than the most wicked and earthly Father was for His children. It is so very deplorable that such attempts are made by these supposed instructors of what God is, to blaspheme Him in His great qualities of love and tenderness, and the desire that all His children become happy. Oh, I tell you that these preachers will have a woeful sin to answer for when they come to an accounting, and that will not be at the great judgment day, as they teach, but just as soon as they enter spirit life and realize the great harm that they have done to many who have followed them in their teachings, and they will realize that awful result very soon after their entrance into the spirit world, for they will have come to them, as clouds of witnesses, the spirits of those who were under their instructions on earth, bringing with them all the evidence of the results of their erroneous beliefs and the stains of this great sin of blasphemy. I, Paul, write this for I know I have suffered from this very cause myself, because, when on earth, I taught some doctrine like unto the one that these preachers are now teaching, and even now I realize that to some extent I am responsible for many false beliefs. But I thank God that all that is ascribed to me in the Bible, I am not responsible for, and that if my true teachings were known and taught, the blind and erroneous beliefs that are now so prevalent among Christians would not exist. I tell you that mortals do not conceive the great harmful and deplorable results that flow from their beliefs in the Bible, in many particulars.